This is Clint Houser with the World of Radio, 1855. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition recorded December 8th, Angola, Australia, Biafra, Bonaire, Canada, China, Cuba, Czechia, France, Guatemala, India, Indonesia, Korea North and South, Madagascar, Mongolia, Netherlands, North America, Rwanda, Solomon Islands, Sudan South, Turkey, Uganda, Ukraine, UK, USA, Vatican, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Last week, we reported that Radio Nacional Angola had come back on the air with a better signal, especially better modulation than before, on 4949.73. And here's more about that. Art Delabere in Maryland says, I think they have increased power, put up a new antenna, or maybe both. However, he says he's getting better reception because of a new horizontal pennant receiving antenna, which is better than a vertical pennant. As of UT December 2nd, he says, now I can hear them all evening, every evening. On UT December 3rd, I reported at 0103 it was S8 with much improved modulation, which must have been fixed during the recent outage. Portuguese Talk, also with music, S6 at 0510, but gone by 0611. However, he and Ron Howard note that they were off the air again on UT December 5th. Bruce Churchill in California heard RNA back on again UT December 6th from TuneIn at 0457 with a rapidly improving signal, High Life Music, to 0500. Apparently news on the hour. He says there has been some transmitter upgrade or repair that has succeeded, whatever it was. But there is some very bad news this week. ABC exits shortwave radio transmission. A press release from ABC in Australia as of December 6th has reached us via numerous reporters and secondary sources. But here is what it starts to say. The ABC will end its shortwave transmission service in the Northern Territory and to international audiences from 31 January 2017. The move is in line with the National Broadcaster's commitment to dispense with outdated technology and to expand its digital content offerings, including DAB Plus digital radio, online and mobile services, together with FM for international audiences. The majority of ABC audiences in the Northern Territory currently access services via AM and FM, and all ABC radio and digital radio services are available on the VAST satellite service. ABC International shortwave services currently broadcast PNG and the Pacific. Savings realized through decommissioning this service will be reinvested in a more robust FM transmitter network and an expanded content offering for the region that will include English and in-language audio content. Michael Mason, ABC's director of radio, said, while shortwave technology has served audiences well for many decades, it is now nearly a century old and serves a very limited audience. The ABC is seeking efficiencies and will instead service this audience through modern technology. ABC International's chief executive officer, Ms. Lindley Marshall, said the reinvestment from closing international shortwave services would maximize ABC's broadcast capabilities in the region. In considering how best to serve our Pacific regional audiences into the future, we will move away from the legacy of shortwave radio distribution. This has led to a huge amount of extremely negative reaction from shortwave listeners, especially in North America. And we have compiled it all in the next issue of DX Listening Digest when published, number 16-49 via worldofradio.com. However, Radio Australia listeners in North America do not matter. In fact, they ceased serving North America deliberately decades ago. But soon, Radio Australia listeners in the Pacific and Asia will not matter either. Here's one comment in the discussion from Walt Somenev in British Columbia. You must understand the influence of Australia in the Pacific. They are the regional power. The island nations look to the Aussies for foreign policy, security, and economic cooperation and assistance. RA was not broadcasting to a few DXers and Aussies. RA and RNZI provide a lifeline during typhoons, earthquakes, and tsunamis, and regional emergencies, including political upheavals. How can local FM transmission or online replace shortwave? A few years ago, Fiji had a military coup. Foreign rebroadcasts disappeared from local stations, hence the value of a robust shortwave service. It does not have to be expensive. Bruce Churchill in California says, those of us who have been DXers for decades enjoyed both the difficult and or rare catch and also enjoyed armchair listening for those stations that broadcast interesting programming in short, easy-to-digest chunks of time. Many, if not most, major broadcasters never cared much for our hobby, as we did nothing to positively impact their bottom line. Well, I could fill up the entire program with more comments about this terrible development, but let's conclude with one from Brian Powell in the southern suburbs of Sydney. I think the powers in charge at ABC International are fooling themselves and thinking that solely dedicating their content to the internet, FM, and satellite is going to be successful. Jean-Gabriel Mangui, former Radio Australia manager, has hit the nail on the head, saying that not everyone has access to the internet in the target areas. In times of emergency, what good is a non-existent internet connection and FM transmitters going to be for the villagers trying to seek vital news and information? I can confidently say that for the Aussie expatriates listening for news from home, they won't be listening to any Radio Australia streams while overseas. People will try to listen to their favorite local stations online, as evidenced by listening to email responses on local medium-wave talkback stations on a daily basis. As for Northern Territory services, it's fair to say that major towns and even most small settlements have FM transmitters, but there are inconceivably long distances between towns, which FM cannot cover. And with the state of internet here in Australia lagging far behind other developed nations' internet infrastructure, the IBC are being very short-sighted. I'm very disappointed in the decision to shut Radio Australia, but I'm not surprised. From Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria, more about Radio Biafra originating in London and transmitted via Bulgaria on 15325. He says on December 1st, the broadcast ran from 1500 to 1553 in English, but dead air for the last few minutes. And on that date, it was again back on the air between 18 and 20 UT on the same frequency, which he had thought had been dropped. On December 2nd, they started at 1459, but then went off at 1500, came back at 1510 with dead air, and the English program finally started at 1513 until 1601. Then on December 3rd, the 18 to 20 UT block was on the air with a good signal, but only playing music. I continued here, PJB, Transworld Radio, Radio Transmundial from Bonaire. Occasionally in the evening on 800 kilohertz, even though we have an Oklahoma City station on the same frequency, but TWR can almost overcome it if I null KQCV. So I continue to wonder if TWR has raised their power yet as they plan to do, from only 100 kilowatts to 450. No, they have not, because we have this story from Mission Network News of December 1st, sent on by Artie Bigley. It was apparently prompted by the death of Fidel Castro. Steve Shantz explains, he's with the station, we have a project, and we're about 80% complete, to raise our power from 100 to 450 kilowatts and put in a more efficient antenna system that can really beam and focus energy onto Cuba. So we hope very shortly we'll be able to go on the air with a brand new transmitter at 450,000 watts and be able to really put a powerful signal into Cuba on a daily basis. CKZU, the CBC relay in Vancouver, is still missing from 6160. As of December 6th, Colin Newell in Victoria says, "You may have heard the last of this little station from the West Coast. I will check with my technical contacts at CBC about its health and wellness." For those seeking low-power shortwave transmissions from Western Canada, CFVP Calgary on 6030 is very much still alive and audible here today on the island. Ron Howard in California reports a new frequency for Gan'an PBS China was 5970, now heard on 5979. First noted by Hiroyuki Kamatsubara in Japan December 3rd. Ron heard them December 6th from 1314 till off sometime between 1346 and 49. Radio Marti 5980 was not much of a problem as long as he listened in lower sideband. He says, "I expected to hear a relay of CNR 11 scheduled at 13 to 14, but was not parallel to that on 7350. Unable to confirm Gan'an PBS was parallel on 3990 as there was only an open carrier there with no audio. Well, that seems to me like a keypad mispunch hitting a 9 instead of a 0, so I wonder if the new frequency is sticking." Well, it was still on 5979 the next day, December 7th, Ron says, from 1324 and still off at 1351, but definitely not relaying CNR 11. Among the many anomalies at Radio Havana, Cuba, I've been noting for some time that the 11840 transmitter has parasitic spurs exactly 10 kilohertz above and below an 11830 and 11850, and it's now on the air both in the mornings and evenings. However, it requires a very strong signal to start with for the parasites to be audible. It was extremely strong, 40 over 9, December 2nd at 1345, when I succeeded in hearing additional multiples of 10 kilohertz spurs outward from 11840. I heard them on 11820 and 11860, and would you believe also barely on 11810 and 11870. On December 3rd, I ran across an additional Radio Prague English relay via WRMI, which is easily overlooked on their schedule, where it might appear in three different places. This was at 2330 UT on 5850, and at 2345, something else is gone. Their final mailbox show was on the air. They said it was being discontinued since they aren't getting enough email response, let alone postal, which has been steadily falling since they abandoned shortwave a few years ago. Well, except for WRMI. Now, they say all they need is immediate feedback from listeners on FB. But you can still email them if you want. Chris Greenway in England tells us that France Inter is now advertising a helpline for listeners to call for advice on what to do after long wave 162 kHz closes at the end of the year. I wonder how many of the French people living in the UK and Germany and Switzerland are aware that this is imminent. It's on the website franceinter.fr under the title La Fin des Grandes Ondes. The Enid Eagle reports, Oklahoma priest named first U.S.-born male martyr by Pope. Vatican recognition clears path for Stanley Rother's beatification. The martyrdom of Reverend Stanley Rother is recognized by Pope Francis, making the former Okarchi, Oklahoma priest the first U.S.-born male martyr in history, according to Catholic News Service. He was killed during Guatemala's Civil War. It puts him on the path to possible sainthood by signing the martyrdom decree. He had been in Guatemala translating the New Testament into an Indian dialect. But we know him as the manager of La Voz de Atitlan, one-time shortwave or really medium-wave station on 2390 kilohertz. I visited that after this had happened, and so did Don Moore, who also found a story about this in the New York Times. Should you hear a South Asian station on 7380.513, as Wolfgang Büschel did December 7th at 0120. It's the New Delhi transmitter of All India Radio's Sindhi service, which had been on 7370, but according to Ivo Ivanov, in late November had moved up to 7380 between 01 and 02 UT. Via Internet, International Vacuum, AM, FM, and Shortwave, this is World of Radio 1855. Our website, worldofradio.com, brings you much more information. Both it and this program are non-commercial, depending on your free will contributions. Our thanks this week to Ben Cobb, who sent a check in the mail on U.S. dollars on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Contributions may also be made, not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. After a few days missing again from its strange split frequency of 9525.9, Voice of Indonesia was back on the air December 5th, but the frequency was slightly different. Ron Howard reports it on 9526.03, heard at 1559, in stilted Chinese, going into Arabic at 1600. Wolfgang Büschel measured it December 5th at 2010 UT, varying a bit around 9526.050. Then on December 6th at 1335 during the English hour, he put it on 49 hertz above 9526 and said there was an English DJ playing international pop music, no Indonesian feeling at all. Chris Kodlek of Michigan also spends a lot of time in South Korea and recently has been putting together some very detailed information about jamming on medium wave carried out both by North and South Korea against each other, along with audio clips. This appears, among other places, on the IRCA list and subsequently in DX Listening Digest with links to the clips. December 3rd at 2015, I was hearing an African language on 17570. This is listed as Adventist World Radio via Madagascar in the Moore language, M-O-O-R-E, which is spoken in Burkina Faso. But what makes this especially interesting was the presence of two carriers offset to the high side, typical Sudanese-style jamming. They were approximately 17571.235 and 0.415. The jammers were producing hits with each other, at least as strong as the target. They stayed on after AWR quit at 2030. So, why would Burkina Faso bother to jam it? Or was it really in a more Sudanese language? And even so, why jam AWR? Possibly because the same frequency, 17570, is in use earlier at 1630 to 1730 for AWR via Germany in Somali and Amharic. The Ethiopians, of course, carry out a lot of jamming, but theirs is usually more of a DRM-ish noise kind rather than carriers, hats, and tones, as the Sudanese apply against Radio Dabanga. Via Alan Pennington of the British DX Club, Mano Ritola reports on the WRTH-FB, a report that Hiroyuki Kamatsubara in Japan says Mongolian radio has reactivated 4830 kHz after long activity with their second program, whose name translates to Golden Radio. It was last reported almost 2 years ago. 4830 was previously and presumably still once again in the city of Altai, a 10 kilowatt transmitter. Ron Howard says he was hearing some weak audio on 4830 December 7th at 1311 and 1358 to 1400. Mike Berkla forwards an item from Jonathan Mark's Critical Distance blog of December 6th. Welcome to a media network prequel. Yes, it's true, we'll be resuming the wireless show about the wireless in 2017, mixing comments about a post-truth media world with regular trips to the vintage radio wireless archives, which we saved from the shredders. Our collection has lasted longer than the station it was first broadcast on. Since our reports the last 2 weeks about the revival of the station formerly known as YHWH, a North American pirate. There have been many more reports of it on a variety of frequencies, all in the North American evenings. The most of the time seem to be between 03 and 05 UT. I heard it December 1st at 0413 on 7330, still on at 0550, in fact, on that occasion. On December 2nd at 0447, he was on 7405 instead, precisely 5 hertz below those frequencies on both occasions. Someone on HF Underground was wondering whether these may be relays of previous YHW broadcasts by a different person. A person said to be in the Mojave Desert of California called Token also posted that Joshua is no longer in California and that so far only old segments have been rebroadcast. And on UT December 6th, he moved to the 60-meter band, heard at 0430 on 4960, says Bob LaRose in California. I can't help but note that that frequency is already in use by Voice of America English from Saint Tome after 0400. Then on UT December 7th at 0204, Bob LaRose found him on 4875. But after 0300, he'd moved to 4920. A clandestine broadcast for Rwanda via MBR, via France, is called Radio Itahuka, I-T-A-H-U-K-A. It apparently started in late November, at least that's a new name for it. But as of December 3rd, Ivo Ivanov says it was missing. The schedule had been Saturday only at 1700 to 1758 on 17870. Ron Howard in California reports that on December 5th, Solomon Islands Broadcasting stayed on 9545, well past the 0500 sign-off, still on the air at 0633. Then he found a report from Rob Wagner via WRTH that on that date it was still on 9545 at 1050, coming in quite well, until squashed by CRI at 1100 on both adjacent channels. Ivo Ivanov reports a new frequency for iRadio, the South Sudan station, EYE, relayed back to the country on shortwave from France for the broadcast at 16 to 17 UT. 15250 replaces 17730. It's partly in English and Arabic and several native languages. Turkey Nan, here's an intriguing item from Wolfgang Büschel in BCDX. Instead of a possible satellite feed, recent ideas at the Foreign Office in Berlin are playing with an idea of offering strong medium-wave programs via Bulgaria, Moldova, or Armenia sites in order to spread a democratic Turkish language program for Turkey. During a quite possible internet blocking period to 22 million Kurds in eastern Turkey by the Erdogan Sultan stronghold, as he puts it, and reminds us that during the Greek military dictatorship, 1967 to 74, Deutsche Welle in Cologne had a program in the Greek language, which was the voice of the Greek democratic opposition. On the other hand, Turkey is somehow helping Ukraine get broadcasts into Crimea, according to a report at ukrinform.es via the GRA blog in Spanish. A tower has been dedicated near Kherson, close enough to Crimea, at least for FM broadcasts, and Turkey was credited with having helped get these frequencies on the air. My monitoring the weekend of Saturday and Sunday, December 3rd and 4th, indicates that Radio Manansi, the clandestine for Uganda via WWRB in Tennessee, 15240, is now on the air, roughly between 17 and 21 UT. However, a carrier was still on after 21, interfering with Radio Australia. Via Hans-Jörg Biener, a press release from VOA says they're now teaming up with RFERL to offer a new fact-checking resource. A globally aware and nonpartisan website, in response to the deluge of often false or misleading information. It is www.polygraph.info, P-O-L-Y-G-R-A-P-H. It separates fact from fiction, adds context, debunks lies. Currently focusing on relations between Russia and the West, but its analysis will expand to other areas of the world. And the Washington Examiner, via Mike Cooper, December 2nd issue, says Congress revives Cold War tool to counter Russian propaganda. The House passed a defense policy bill that would revive a Cold War tool that the federal government could start using once again to counteract Russian propaganda through U.S.-sponsored broadcasting. The act authorizes defense programs for the next fiscal year aimed at restoring Voice of America and other government media to fight Russian messages. Chairman Ed Royce authored legislation that will restructure the Broadcasting Board of Governors overseeing VOA. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria monitored the new experimental broadcast of World of Radio via Hamburger Local Radio Sunday, December 4th at 11:30 UT on 9485. He says reception was fair to poor. Richard Lemke in Alberta discovered a new broadcast of World of Radio via WRMI before even I was aware of it, but then I see it has been entered on their schedule. It is Tuesday at 2300 UT on 9955. Meanwhile, anyone trying to listen to Brother Scare on WBCQ during the 23 to midnight UTR on 7490 might have a problem, as we did here in Mid-America. There's a collision with the BBC World Service in English via Thailand, also on 7490, during that hour only. It's happened in previous winters. Apparently, frequency managers could not imagine that this would be a problem, but the broadcast from Thailand is aimed 25 degrees, and under gray line conditions, it carries right on into North America. This could be a problem for J.P. Ferraro's shortwave Saturday night. If you've missed hearing rants from France on WWRB as he denounces churches while trying to get pastors to buy time on the station, I ran across another, and this may happen again, but you never can be sure. UT Sunday at midnight 13 on 3215. He was filling time before some preacher who really wants to be on the station starting at midnight 30. Via Idun's medium wave info, Giovanni Ricci reports that Vatican Radio has ceased all its medium wave broadcasts for Rome and Latium on November 30th. So Vatican is another silent medium wave country. Those were on 1260 and 585 kilohertz. And we fear shortwave could be next. There's a much longer story about this via Vince Ferme from MondayVatican.com. It's all part of Pope Francis' Steps of Vatican Reform. Nicholas Hardiman, publisher of the World Radio TV Handbook, notifies us that the 2017 edition has been published on December 5th. I think some readers in the UK have already received theirs. It takes a while to ship them to North America, but pre-orders are now being taken from Amazon or Universal Radio in Ohio. More information at www.wrth.com. The propagation dollar from Boulder, G1 minor storms, with A and Candace peaking at 20 and 5 on December 9th, 30 and 5 December 22nd. Solar flux rising from 72 December 12th to 86 by December 21st. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 1855.